swinging a high flight.
Swung on high.
This is tagged.
Hammered it again.
At the track.
That ball just got out of here.
That was hit a ton.
This is going to go to the rock pile.
This ball's getting small.
This is charged. Right back at the track.
Seems like the ball's had a lot of life the last couple of nights.
We could go back to back. Here's Adam Engel swinging a long one to left. We're going to have a tie ball game. He did go back to back. High and deep. This is crushed to left center field. This is going to go for a home run. Way out of here.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Strike after strike. He is on a roll. Seven straight strikeouts. The wind and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss and a fastball away. Make it eight in a row for Giolito.
Coming off of my year in 18, had a lot of adjustments to be made. I had to fix some mechanical things. I had to fix some mental stuff. And then I was able to have a pretty good body of work. For me, it just makes me hungrier for more.
Anderson hits one in the air. Deep into left field. Gordon turns and watches, and this one is gone. Way up into the bleachers.
He turned on it, burned on it, flipped the bat, and started running.
You know, we broke down my swing, and we made some changes, and it seemed to work for me.
The Chicago Baseball Conversation.
Deep into right field.
On the flagship home of the Sox.
It is gone.
720 WGN.
Welcome into White Sox Weekly. Good afternoon to everybody out there on a beautiful Saturday in Chicago. Kevin Powell with you. And the great Chris Bowden sitting in with me on
Watch
White Sox
the adjectives.
Weekly.
Let's not get too carried away here. Watch the adjectives. The last time I was at a White Sox game was Michael Kopech's debut.
Wow.
That was also Blackhawks night when Alex DeBrincat threw out the first pitch.
Look at this.
So this is my White Sox expertise you're going to be dealing with here for the next hour.
A perfect mix there, Bowden, of your expertise. White Sox and Blackhawks. You found a way to get Hawks in there 60 seconds into the show.
Right. Ding,
Chris,
ding, ding,
Chris
ding.
Bowden, of course, has your White Blackhawks pregame and postgame. You'll hear him a little bit later on WGN.
Way later on. What am I doing
later.
Here for
you're
two
here
and a half
early.
Hours?
It's because you're a team player. You're all about we,
that's
not
right.
me, Chris.
Chipping
that's what
in.
I appreciate about you.
Pinch hitting.
This is White Sox Weekly, and Yomer Sanchez, one of the more entertaining players really in all of baseball, is going to be on with us in about 7 minutes or so. Gold Glove winning Yomer Sanchez.
Yeah,
he was outstanding in the field this season. And one of my favorite players because he has found a way to, I don't know if reinvent the water bath after doing something, right. A celebration. He dumps it on himself. And then he started getting the third base coach and he started getting teammates with it. Always an entertaining player.
Yeah, and we certainly hope he's part of the White Sox future. He's, I think, arbitration eligible next month at some point. Mm-hmm. Certainly earned his stripes with his performance in the field this year. Real valuable player, that the type that every baseball team likes to have on their roster. And God forbid if he does go somewhere else, hopefully he doesn't have something written into his contract that prevents his celebrations.
Nick Madrigal's on a fast track to the big leagues. He was outstanding in the minor leagues. Some people thought he could have been up in the bigs already as soon as last season. We'll see how quickly the Sox do try to elevate Nick Madrigal to the bigs. He's on his way. Yomer Sanchez, though, as you mentioned, does fit the perfect profile of that extra infielder off the bench, where you know you can play him. You can put him at short if you really need to, but second, you could put him at third. And if you're going to be a guy like that, almost like the sixth man off the bench, you got to be able to field because you have to. And he can, obviously. He just won a Gold Glove. So he does fit that mold of utility-type player. Solid bat, good fielder, and absolutely loved in the clubhouse.
Yeah, and we'll have to ask him about weighing that pro and con between if there is an opportunity, an everyday opportunity out there with perhaps someone else. If he's not able to reach something with the White Sox beforehand, whether that's a carrot out there that is very important to him. Or whether he takes pride in this current role. And that's not to say he wouldn't be a starter here should he come back to the White Sox. But I'm sure he takes a great deal of pride in that versatility. But I know every major league player, too, also wants to be the guy every day at a certain position, too.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting on social media following the diehard Sox fans. You got to love them, folks. You got to love them. the anticipation for this offseason really started to creep in even before the regular season was over, because this feels like that perfect sweet spot for the Sox organization who's gone through this rebuild, which has been tough times. There's been some really tough times. I thought last year, despite look, they didn't have a winning record, but there were some great moments, and you saw individual growth from Lucas Giolito, Tim Anderson's your batting champ, Jose Abreu. By the way, there was news this week out of the general manager meetings in Arizona. Thursday was the deadline for players to accept qualifying offers, which is a one-year deal worth $17 million. Sox extended that to Jose Abreu. He accepted it. So slugger Jose Abreu, bargain trade or anything like that, will be back for at least one more season on the South Side. A guy that just is about as consistent as they get.
Well, White Sox for life, as far as Jose is concerned, and at least it is for one more year. And, yeah, that's another thing I'd like to ask Yomer about, is about Jose's impact in that clubhouse from a fellow player standpoint, and how much of a leader he has developed into within that room. And I think he's held in real high regard by his teammates, and I think he's held in real high regard in terms of around Major League Baseball, too, with what he's been able to accomplish, and especially this year winning the American League RBI title.
So now it's getting back to the social media and the buzz from fans about the excitement for this offseason, because it does feel like the time where a team will spend a lot of money, right? You've got the core players. Look at the field already for next year. It's pretty much set. You got Eloy in left. Let's start with the infield. Third base, you've got Yoan. Short, Tim Anderson. Second base could be Yomer Sanchez, could be Nick Madrigal, could be a free agent signing. You have Jose Abreu first, and James McCann's likely behind home plate to start the season. And then you probably have Lucas Giolito, your day one starter. So, and then you have Eloy in left. I think the one area a lot of people are expecting them to add talent via free agency is right field. There are some options out there. Nicholas Castellanos, who fit in just nicely with the Cubs, and he provided a big jolt to that organization. Maybe they find a way to bring him to the South Side. From the North Side to the South Side, makes a lot of sense there. And look, I'm not saying they're the favorites by any means, but there's no question. There's no reason the White Sox shouldn't be in on Gerrit Cole. I don't care how much people are projecting the man is going to make, which is going to be a lot and lot and lots of money. They should absolutely pursue a Gerrit Cole because it's going to cost a lot of. The Sox showed last year with the offer to Manny Machado, despite missing out, that they are willing to spend the money. That was reportedly $275 million with $50 million of escalators and benchmarks. If he hit him, he could have added. So you tell the White Sox basically said they were willing to go around $300 million for a single player. Mm-hmm. And the one argument you can make against the Gerrit Cole or a pitcher is you get a starting pitcher once every five games compared to an everyday player. So you do have to kind of weigh the balance there. But Gerrit Cole just fits the exact profile of what they need. They have these young group of arms, the Giolitos, Michael Kopech, Dylan Cease. That's your anchor. That's your veteran-proven anchor. You may have to overpay. If you got to give them 6 or 7 years, look, you're probably not going to get great production the final 2-3 years, but championship windows are small, Chris, in all sports, right?
I mean, and whether White Sox fans want this comparison or not, you mentioned this team went out and swung hard last offseason at what they wanted to do, and you would think they may do that. Rick Hahn playing it very close to the vest at the winter meetings this past week, not wanting to put his skis too far out ahead of himself in terms of expectations for the offseason. I think that's something wise to do. But, you saw the kind of impact that John Lester made on the north side with that big contract that he made. Now you're in a situation where he's towards the tail end of that contract. Based on what we saw last season, you're wondering how much more they're going to get out of him. But in terms of the splash that was required and the impact that he made as that number one to lead a pitching staff, there's no question about the impact that signing. And do any of these free agents, are any of them not represented by Scott Boras? That's the scary part. That's the scary part.
He's Chris Bowden. I'm Kevin Powell. This is White Sox Weekly. Yomer Sanchez is coming up next. Give the gift of White Sox baseball this season with a holiday pack starting at just $45. Each pack includes 4 ticket vouchers for the 2020 season, along with an exclusive White Sox holiday blanket. Get yours today at whitesox.com/holidaypacks.
The 0-1. Ground ball, shortstop, into left field. This goes racing home. Anderson around second. Castillo, an RBI single by Yomer Sanchez, cuts the Tigers' lead in half.
Welcome back into White Sox Weekly. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. It was beautiful out there today. Still a little chilly, but plenty of sunshine today. So hope you're having a great weekend. Kevin Pollak with you alongside the great Chris Bowden. White Sox Weekly rolls until 5. Our first guest, Yelmer Sanchez, sponsored by Mazda of Orland Park and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. The great Yelmer Sanchez is on the phone with us. Yelmer, thank you for jumping on. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And first off, congratulations on the Gold Glove Award. What does that mean to you, Yelmer?
Oh, it means a lot. You know, it means a lot. The work to put a good performing difference on the defense and the offense. So the offense was the way that I won, but I played my my good defense, so it's good.
Big bats always stand out in baseball. It's what we focus on a lot, but defense can be overlooked quite often. Tell us about how much work you put into to your glove work and your pregame routine, and what it means to see all that hard work pay off.
No, you know, I do my routine every day. I try to do the same. Sometimes we take early ground balls, but during BP I take like 15-20 ground balls and throw to first, and then I turn double play with TA, so that's kind of to remind to move my feet to, you know, to put a good angle to throw to first though. So you have to practice every day so you don't forget, and when the situation go in the game, so you know how to react. So it's really important.
So a couple of follow-up questions about the award. First, are you keeping it, or are you handing it over to a family member or anything like that? And if you are keeping it, you got your spot picked out in your house?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it, so I'm going to put it next to my bed.
Okay. Open your eyes, that's the first thing you see, right?
Yeah. So the first couple of days, and then I think I'm going to put it in my son's room, so... A lot of people don't know, but my first year in winter ball, I won a gold glove too. So I have a one in winter ball and now in one in big league.
Oh, you're getting a collection now. Watch out. What's typical off season like for you? Once the regular season winds up at the end of September, and of course next season, you know, you're hoping it lasts a little bit longer than that. What's your typical routine in terms of getting away, then starting to recharge and ramp up again?
Yeah, no, I take it like this year I take like 3 days, 3 weeks. Sorry, 3 weeks off, almost 1 month, and I start working. You know, I start working. It's a lot of things that I have to improve, so I'm working right now and try to get better in all the aspects. So, and I spend time with my family, you know, take my son to school, to baseball practice, to the game, you know, do a lot of things, because during the season you don't have that much time to spend with your family. So right now I working in the morning, but the rest of the day try to do something with my family, with my kid, with my wife. So
do you watch postseason baseball, Yelmer, or do you just get away once your season's over?
Oh, I love watch a postseason game. I really love. I think kind of because the you know the intensity is really good, and because you visually your team playing that position next year, so kind of just to get used to all those. So it's good, and the postseason is always fun. So.
So, and obviously, you're looking for your first taste of that. How do you think you would handle that on that big stage with so much at stake? I don't know if you're a nervous guy before every game, and whether you are or not, do you think a few more butterflies might be flying around in that stomach if you ever were fortunate enough to get to that stage?
Yeah, you know, I think the first idea is going to be nervous, but I think it's the same game, you know, it's the same. You have to do it. Nothing changed, just playoff. So I think don't try to do too much. Don't try to do a lot of things. Just try to get in base, help the team win games, and, you know, do the little things.
We're talking with White Sox second baseman Yolmer Sanchez, Gold Glove winning Yolmer Sanchez, I should add. Yolmer, some news this past few days. Jose Abreu will be back on the south side. He accepted that qualifying offer. I know for a lot of fans that's a relief to see the slugger remaining on the south side. For you as a teammate, what does he mean to that clubhouse, and how happy were you to see him take the offer?
We know that he don't gonna sign with other teams. He loves White Sox. He loves the clubhouse, all the guys, and he know that we are really close to play in the postseason, to play in the World Series. So he wanna be part of that, and he's excited. You know, I'm so happy that we're gonna keep him at least one more year, and because he's one of the leader in the clubhouse, so he's always fun to be around him.
Yolmer, I've got to ask you this, but it's been all the talk around baseball and really in sports, but there was some questionable video evidence of the Houston Astros allegedly stealing signs. Look, we know stealing signs has been around in baseball forever, but the use of technology is banned in baseball. What have you made of the whole sign-stealing saga over the past couple of weeks?
I mean, I think that was too much, you know. But I don't like to talk about it. If they did, they know it was wrong. But I don't really like to talk about it. And you know, I think they went way too far. But I don't know. And like you say, everybody tried to steal signs, like from second, or you know, if the pitch do something. But not to do that, I don't know. I don't really want to say anything.
Okay. Let's try this. You have a date coming up in a couple of weeks where you and the White Sox have to decide about futures. I'm assuming that this is a place you want to stay. What has being a lifelong White Sox meant to you? It's been, almost 10 years now since you signed with the organization. What has being with the White Sox meant to you?
I mean, it means a lot, you know, a lot. When I say a lot, because like you say, when I was 16 with this team, and I still with this team, they give me the opportunity to play as a professional baseball. They give me the opportunity to play in big league. They give me the opportunity to show my talent. They give me the opportunity to win my first Gold Glove. So I'm really thankful for everything they did for me the past couple of years, but I hope I stay here. I know I'm gonna help this team to win games, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited for next year.
Well, Yolmer Sanchez, we hope to see you on the south side next season. Congratulations on the Gold Glove. Enjoy your off season, and we'll see you soon out in the spring training.
Okay, see you guys soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yolmer.
That's Yolmer Sanchez, your White Sox second baseman. We'll have news next on 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
Welcome back into White Sox Weekly. Kevin Powell with you alongside Chris Bowden as this rolls on until about 5 o'clock. Thank you again to Yolmer Sanchez who jumped on. Yolmer's always so fun, Chris Bowden. And again, I like how he reinvented the water cooler.
We didn't ask him about that.
I know.
Too.
I was going to. We kind of ran out of time.
Got any new ideas coming up for 2020?
And speaking of 2020, 2020 ticket packages are on sale now. Secure your seat with a 20-game plan. Find the plan that meets your schedule and budget with lower-level plans starting as low as $403. For more information, visit whitesox.com or call 312-674-1000. So we go from Yolmer Sanchez to the newest member of Ricky Renteria's coaching staff, and Scott Coolbaugh. He's been named the assistant hitting coach after spending some time in the Dodgers organization. He was the hitting coach down in AAA Oklahoma City. Scott, welcome to Chicago. Appreciate you jumping on.
Appreciate it, Kevin, Chris. Thank you for having me.
So how did this come about? How did this opportunity, how did you end up landing with the White Sox? Who reached out to you? Was it Rick Hahn? Was it Ricky Renteria? Tell us about the process of you joining the White Sox organization.
Well, it was kind of a surprise to me. I was in Mexico coaching winter ball, and got a call from Rick Renteria and said that Frank Menichino had been named the hitting coach and recommended me as the assistant and wanted to talk to me about that situation. I never met Rick before, but sounded like a great individual on the phone. And then Rick Hahn reached out to me also after that and kind of got the deal done. So looking forward to the new challenges and excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, talk about your relationship with Frank Menachino. He named the assistant, or excuse me, the hitting coach. You're now the assistant hitting coach. But what's your connection there to Frank?
Back in the day, we played together a little bit in Birmingham. I was there with him, and we first connected as teammates and just kind of kept contact along the way. When he was in Miami, we would always converse about hitters and things like that. So always stayed in contact with Frank. He was always good to me, and you know, our dialogue seemed to be the same, and we always had that good connection when it came down to baseball. So you know, when the time came that he got the job, he put in a recommendation for me, and here I am.
Tell us a little bit about relationships between hitting coaches and assistant hitting coaches. I'm sure it varies from relationship to relationship and team to team, but ideally, how should that work in terms of divvying up responsibilities? And is it necessary to absolutely be on the same page philosophically, or you know, are some different ideas, not necessarily, you know, black and white, but how important are different ideas to work into the mix?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, collaborate with one another about things that are going on with the team. Obviously, individual players, dialogue that you have, you know, it's very important to have relationships you build with the players themselves, and that time is during the cage, sometimes it's at the hotel, sometimes it's just, you know, sitting and having lunch with them and getting to know them. But, you know, that dialogue you take into context and try to, you know, formulate ideas that are best for the player. And sometimes, you know, you may come up with something totally different than the other hitting coach. But, you know, the main thing is that, you know, Frank is the guy that everybody goes through, and you collaborate with him. And I think that he knows me well enough that I'm on the same page with what we're trying to accomplish. But there are, you know, more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak. So I think that some of the things that I've learned along the way, being with the Dodger organization, learning some of the new technology, data analytics that can be provided along the way also are going to be useful for him. And we can, again, collaborate and come up with the best ideas to help the players perform at their optimal level.
How much of the analytical component of a baseball swing, and we've heard a lot about the evolution of the swing in baseball, putting the ball in the air, different arc plane, all those sorts of things. For yourself, a lifetime baseball guy, do you adopt all those analytical, and everybody's talking about the uppercut swing and put the ball in the air and all those sorts of things?
Well, I think that, you know, all the analytic and data is you know, great. It still comes down to individual player, what he's capable of doing, what he's not capable of doing. You know, we're not trying to turn all these guys into robots. I don't think that's the way to go about it. And sometimes you can get into a mindset of trying to get everybody to be the same. You know, basically we want to make hitters have good swing decisions, you know, hit the ball hard, keep it on a line. Obviously the line drive is the highest average in baseball. Being able to do a little more than that is, you know, learn how to play the game too. Is, you know, there's situations that don't call for a fly ball, you know, maybe a ground out to second base with an infield back and to score a run from third or move a runner over. So there's a lot more things into it than just launch angle. I understand that we want to maximize an optimal, you know, performance of each individual to his fullest, but to the extent of what the player can handle, and you have to simplify that. So just taking some of the analytics and the data that are provided, I think you assess and formulate a simplistic way to, you know, get the hitter to perform at the way that he's capable of playing.
There is a ton of talent in this White Sox organization, young talent. I'm sure you've read up on the roster, but how familiar are you with the young rising stars the Sox have, the Moncadas, Tim Anderson, Eloy Jimenez, and then even Luis Robert, Nick Madrigal, those type of guys? Have you had a chance to take a deep dive into this White Sox roster, and how much have you seen from some of those players?
Well, I've seen some of them from afar. Obviously, Jose Abreu, obviously, I scouted him back when I was with Texas, and I was with the major league hitting coach with Baltimore for four seasons. So I saw him take advantage of us quite a bit over the years. I saw Tim Anderson kind of grow into the player that he is today. You know, Luery Garcia I had in Texas, and then obviously the young players that you're talking about that are coming up and making an impact. I think it's a great opportunity, a great time with Chicago. Nothing but upside, and it's up to Frank and myself to maximize those talents when they're in the box and, you know, try to put an offense together that's, you know, going to be sustainable, be consistent all year long to score runs and do the things that are needed to win ball games.
Well, going back to your playing days in the likes of Texas and San Diego and St. Louis, I know you played with the likes of the Rafi Palmeiros and Ruben Sierras, even come across an older Harold Baines and a younger Sammy Sosa. But there's one former teammate I really want to ask you about, and that's Darren Jackson. During your days in San Diego, he's the radio analyst here. So, what do you got on Darren as a teammate?
Oh, Darren was a great teammate. I'll tell you what, you know what? He was upbeat, always brought energy every day to the field. Great teammate, was always trying to help his teammates. You know, I was a young player, and when we both were together in San Diego, really enjoyed my time. Whenever I get a chance to see Darren, when we were playing Chicago back in the day when I was with Baltimore, even Texas, I always had a chance to say hello to him and converse with him. So really excited about getting the opportunity to be around him a little bit more next year, and look forward to it.
Talking with White Sox assistant hitting coach, new assistant hitting coach, Scott Coolball. Scott, I want to ask you, I asked Yelmer Sanchez this as well, and I understandably he didn't want to get too into it. But from your standpoint, especially as a hitting coach, there's been some a sign-stealing saga going on over the past couple weeks with involving the Astros and video and a lot of weird things. Garbage cans were involved, allegedly, in the Astros dugout. What's been your take kind of seeing this unfold? Are you surprised? And just the overall sign-stealing process in baseball?
Well, overall, I think that there's things that we've always, you know, players have always done, you know, coaches have tried to pick up things along the way to have an advantage under in more of an ethical way, so to speak. If a pitcher is tipping his pitches, you know, it's kind of on the pitcher that, you know, he's showing that. So you take advantage of things like that. Or, you know, if the catcher and pitcher are putting down signs that are easy to read, you know, base runner can relay or steal third base, you know, knowing what pitch is coming. So that's always been evolved in the game. I think that the thing that's most unethical is when you cross the line and using video systems and, you know, signaling from within a TV monitor to give the hitter a chance to take advantage of the pitcher. I think that is somewhat crossing the line and unethical, and, you know, I'm not surprised of it, the way that technology is today, the way people are, you know, being hired to, you know, study signs and study things like that to have an advantage. The game in itself, throughout the years, people have always tried to have that edge, but to what extent do you take advantage of that edge, so to speak? So I do think it's unethical that, you know, the situation with Houston has come up, what they've done. I don't think they were necessary to do that, but I do know that if a pitcher is tipping his pitches and, you know, flaring his glove or doing something signal-wise that's easy to read, I think it's on the player, not so much, you know, somebody looking at a monitor.
Couldn't agree more. Scott Coolball, the new White Sox assistant hitting coach, congratulations on the new gig, and welcome to Chicago. Bring a lot of layers. It's just about cold all the time, Scott. So we're looking forward to meeting you out in spring training and seeing you here in Chicago come next season.
Well, I appreciate it, Kevin, Chris. I'm from New York, so, you know, gotcha. Born and raised, so I'm used to the cold. I'm not afraid of that.
All right.
Thanks, but
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Scott. Thanks a bunch. We appreciate it. Scott Coolball, the new White Sox assistant hitting coach. He didn't sound like he was from New York.
No. And
all his days in the traveling and baseball,
yeah,
in the city, all that.
And, you know, he only had only a handful, I think, 400, 500 of major league at-bats, and only a .215 career hitter. But you see a lot of this, too, where you know, guys who weren't necessarily great hitters in the major leagues, for whatever reason, you know, they have a good way of teaching it better than they execute it, which is sometimes hard to believe. But I'm anxious to see what he can bring to the table.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily, like, Michael Jordan doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a great coach. Yep. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like the seventh man off the bench.
And what was Dave Ross's career batting average? You know, it was one of those catchers now who is managing material. So that'll be interesting to watch. Hey, the White Sox pop-up shop is back at the Orland Square Mall this offseason. Visit the White Sox store at Orland Square Mall now through January 15th. Conveniently located from the Apple Store, fans can shop stadium exclusives and special promotions throughout the holidays. For more information, follow at White Sox Store on Instagram.
Plenty more to come on White Sox Weekly with me, Kevin Powell, and Chris Bowden right here on WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
Kevin Powell with you alongside Chris Bowden as White Sox Weekly rolls on. Just talking with Scott Coolbaugh as well as Yolmer Sanchez earlier. I do want to get your thoughts, Chris. I had asked both of them about the sign-stealing part. Would you play baseball? Were you a baseball guy, sports
player? Way back when.
About
3 years before parents started getting a little too out of control. Not mine, but
yelling
others.
At the ump.
That's right.
We're seven, coach. Leave us alone.
Yes. Play my son.
Play my son. He's the best. White Sox Weekly rolls on here for the next 6-7 minutes or so. And then Chris will and I will be on for another hour and a half. It'll be for the Beats. We'll talk some Bears. We'll talk some Blackhawks who are looking good, Chris. We'll get into that. We've got plenty of time to get into that. But focusing on the White Sox and baseball here. Look, if you haven't heard this story, seen this story, the gist of it is the Houston Astros, who won the World Series 2 years ago. 2 years ago, 2017. Yeah. There's some video surfaced and some audio surfaced and some stories surfaced by Mike Fiers, who formerly pitched for the Astros. There were three unnamed players. This was all in a report from theathletic.com. And the story says, according to these players, that the Houston Astros put a camera out in center field that would zoom in and steal the catcher's signs that are being relayed to the pitcher. That camera just happened to be connected, allegedly, to a TV monitor inside the dugout. Now, you're wondering how...
This is already way too technical for me. So,
well, it's a camera on a TV monitor. It's not that crazy. The camera zooms in, it sucks it all in, and then shoots it back to the TV monitor in the Houston Astros dugout. The way they would relay whatever sign they stole was by making noise. One of the ways they were doing it, and there's some pretty glaring evidence with this, where you can hear it. It's very clear that, let's say, the catcher put down changeup. Camera picks it up, relays it to the TV monitor. Somebody in the dugout sees, okay, he just put down for a changeup. Sometimes they would take a garbage can and take a baseball bat and pound. Dush, dush, dush. And then the batter could hear him. They would hear, dush, dush, dush. They would look for an off-speed pitch. Chris, a little unethical there. I'm all for a runner on second base, trying to get a little edge, trying to look behind the pitcher, kind of maybe relay, put two fingers down if you see breaking ball. Yeah, that's gamesmanship. I'm okay with that. This is over the line.
No doubt unethical, but now the question is if there's enough evidence that all this happened, and so what are the repercussions now, 2 years later? I mean
they're not going to – you can't take away the World Series. I mean, it still does come down – to performing, I understand that, but I think for a lot of people are going to look at that organization differently, and it's not like they're going to put an asterisk next to the World Series title. They still did it. They still performed. I mean, even if you look, if you put me in a batter's box and told me a changeup was coming from a professional hitter, it still doesn't mean I'm going to hit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is one of the hardest things to do in sports is hit a baseball, and these guys do it over and over. It's why Hall of Famers are, you know, get out 7 out of 10 times still. It's very difficult. I understand that. But if the MLB has launched an investigation into it, the Astros say they're cooperating. If they do find some very strong evidence that this is all accurate and they were doing this, how prevalent was it? How often did they do it? Was this in the playoffs? When was this? They're going to get hit with a massive fine.
I would imagine.
And some people might be getting fired.
And that's probably all you can do at this point. It always seems like the Astros were in something controversial with the Cardinals, but it was the Cardinals who were penalized
stealing
years ago.
Database information.
Database
scouts,
information from that. So
somebody went to jail for that, Chris. I'm not kidding.
Find themselves. Yeah, I remember reading, I don't know if it was ESPN, the magazine, or Sports Illustrated article about that. The one thing about that also, though, and you know, not to talk about a guy on another side of town, Yu Darvish got hammered in those two games of the World Series against the Astros. And while he got himself a little bit involved in this over the last couple of days, he did admit, I don't know if stealing signs would have mattered against me because of the way I pitched in those two games.
Yeah, and then there's some back and forth ribbing with him and Christian Yelich. Turned into I'm calling it the sign stealing saga in baseball right now.
Keep an eye on those Astros, though.
That's right, Chris.
You know,
Much looking at that organization differently.
Not only do you need bomb sniffing dogs these days, but you need neutral parties who will go down and look for hidden cameras and listening for garbage cans being struck by baseball bats.
2019, man, cameras everywhere where they should or should not be, including center field relaying them to your dugout. You know, we had drawn comparisons to what the Astros did and every team that rebuilds, you know, even to like where the White Sox are at with their rebuild, but I'm not going to compare them to that certain situation, but there's a ton of talent that on the White Sox organization. I'm so pumped for 2020 White Sox baseball, Chris.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how they proceed here throughout this offseason, who goes where among this free agent field, how much money they get, and how aggressive, if in fact the Sox are as aggressive as they were last year with a couple of those guys. I would imagine they'll have their one target or two that they're going to be all in on, because it would seem it's a couple pieces away here. We don't know what Kopech's going to be like at the start of the season. You're going to have to wait for Rodon, apparently. But
God, you said the last game you were at, you saw Kopech's debut.
That was his debut.
That was such a fun night. It was rain-shortened, unfortunately. Right. I think like half – how many times did he pitch that? Six starts or something? Half of them were rain-shortened. So ton of reason to be excited. And as the winter meetings get going next month, that's kind of when a lot of the activity picks up. I'm also just interested to see how the MLB offseason plays out because it's been really slow. Guys aren't signing until spring training has even already started. How aggressive our team. So interested to see how that all plays out. I'm Kevin Powell. He's Chris Bowden. This has been White Sox Weekly. Thank you to Yomer Sanchez for joining us earlier on in the program. Yomer, a Gold Glove winner. Congratulations to him. Also, Scott Coolball, the new assistant hitting coach. I thought he had some really interesting things to say about how he approaches the gig and just baseball as a whole and the approach at the plate in modern day 2019 baseball. Thank you for listening to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.